Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Was with Joseph and give him favor in the sight. Please, 20 and 21. Take a step backwards. And Joseph's master, this was when he had some issues with his boss. Like some of you have issues with your boss this last week. And they threw him in prison. There's a song in my, you know, the song is just playing. But I don't want people to accuse me that you came to church, you didn't hear a message. But if we have time, we'll sing it. We're going to sing, "Who is like you, oh Lord, in all the earth." Don't, hold it. God, you are tempting me now. Or rather, I'm giving in to the temptation. Hold on. Change the song. Say, we went to church. The guy didn't even sing. He was just singing. Is love, is that, now you know. Wala for who know your message. The song is a message. You know? And Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners, and please, if you understand anything about ancient times, there was a special prison for the king's prisoners. It's not the regular one. Those ones have committed terrible crimes, so they are most likely going to die. And he was there in the prison, 21. In that prison, verse 21, quickly. But the Lord was with Joseph. Where was the Lord? In the prison with him. Hey. The Lord was with him. God watched him go into the prison and then God checked in with him. Come on, you didn't hear that one. God took his bag, said, "Let's go and stay with Joseph." That situation, he said, "We are there. We are going to be there together." And then he showed him what? He showed him what? Oh my God. And gave him what? What did he show? What did he give? I don't know if it's making sense to you. What did he show him? So when he showed him mercy, he compelled every other person to see the same. But what did he give him? Ability to supersede everyone in his jurisdiction. There's a difference. You get mercy by the prerogative of God. Favor many times is dependent on what you have done. Certain things that you have done. God knew that he didn't touch the woman. God knew that it was a setup. So God gave him favor. They told you are going to die there. They told you that department in your office, nobody's going to be moved out of there. They are not going to change your terms of employment. And God said, "Let us wait and see." So God gave you favor. In the sight of the keeper of what? Of the prison. Read with me Romans chapter 9 and verse 15. Popular scripture. Romans chapter 9 and verse 15. For he said to Moses, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy." This has no business with which country you come from. Because when people think until they relocate abroad, their lives cannot be better. When God has mercy on you, the U.S. will come to your house. I didn't say the president, I said U.S. will come to your house. I was watching a film and the king of France was talking to someone. He said, "Look," he said, "when I ask you to do something, I am not asking you to go. I am not asking you to go as in your name. I'm asking you to go as France. So when I come into your house, it is France that has..." So you need to understand that. Now, let me quickly share a few thoughts with you on the subject of mercy. Number one, mercy is the prerogative of God. What that means is that God is the only one that has the thermometer to the allocation of mercy. Mercy is really not There's a sense in which you, certain things you do can attract mercy. But generally, it is God's prerogative. That's why he's God. The scripture says that God is the governor among the gods. That means there's a meeting where gods gather. And when they gather, God is the king among them. So when they discuss the issue of, for instance, Donald Trump, they table it. Some things there are not really a subject of right and wrong. It's a subject of negotiation. Do you understand what I'm saying? You may not understand this one. In the realm of the spirit, some things are not really a subject of good or bad. In that conference, it's just like a National Economic Council. They discuss plus and minus. Do you understand what I'm saying? So they discuss. They say, okay, give permission. Let's attack Job. Give permission. It is not in God's will that he should inflict pain on his own children. But in the congregation of the gods, they discuss, okay, let's see what will happen. We are testing Job. And God approved. So sometimes you go through situations and you are wondering like, oh, how did we get to this point? But somewhere in the equation, God has marked that situation for your glory. But before every glory, there's going to be a test. So it's a prerogative of God. They say, oh, that guy denied Jesus 3 times. Take him away. And God said, that is my joker. That's God's verdict on Peter. No. He has committed the unpardonable sin. It's the sin against the Holy Spirit. God said, he's the one I want to use. It's a prerogative of God. You can't do anything about the prerogative. It's just God saying, this is what I want to do. He allows people to make input. In fact, he said in Isaiah, come, let us reason together. Bring forth your strong reasons. God allows you to come to that meeting and negotiate. There was a king in the scripture where there was a prophecy and they said, prepare your house for you shall die. And the king began to negotiate for his life. He said, the dead cannot praise you. Come on now. How many of you has ever thought that your ability to praise God could be a negotiating tool? Are you still here? You are quiet though. Are you still here? I said, how many of you have ever thought that your ability to praise God could be a negotiating tool when you are facing death? But that's the thing we do, and we do carelessly. The king faced the wall. He said, the dead cannot praise you. God heard. He said, it's true. The guy, when things were good for him, he used to praise us. I said, give him 15 years. It's a prerogative of God. So there are certain things that come to you, not on the basis of certificate. There are certain things that come to you, not on the basis of who you know. It's because God just looks at you and says, give it to her. And they bring a car to your house. You didn't wake up that morning looking for a car. God says, I want to make you more comfortable. Go and give her a Jeep. I was a single lady of 24 doing with a Jeep. But God just decided, I don't like this girl. Today is covenant day of praise in heaven. Give anybody that wakes up early Jeep. Yeah, just give Jeep. Mercy. Come on, say prerogative. It's a prerogative of God. Number two. Mercy is what makes God unique. Mercy is what makes God. God just looks at you and just likes you. That's why when you are with him, you have to be very careful. There's no big man in God's house. Because God looks at everything that you are doing, including the one your body language, looking at it. There are some people that come when they pray, they say, God, it's your son, Reverend. You know, some people can't even imagine that in heaven, nobody will be called Reverend. Nobody, this brother is not, it's as if they are demoting you. When they demote you from deacon in our old churches, deacon to brother, it's as if you are no more a Christian. Mercy is what makes God unique. Mercy is what makes a man like David commit that kind of sin. Slept with a man's wife. Killed her husband. Nobody could challenge him, but God could. And the way God even challenged is very funny. He just sent a prophet to tell him a parable. There's one story. I heard one story. I want to tell you one story. So God was telling David a story. You understand? The way God tells us stories when we watch some of these films. You know, have you ever watched a film and you thought it was your story that they were using to act? God is just talking to you. You are watching a film and it's like it's a story. The way Nathan came to the house of David and said, let me tell you one story. Something happened somewhere. And you are thinking it's comedy. Something happened just now. You think it's a comedy. And it's okay. What do you think we should do to this? I say, we'll kill him with this. Say, you are the man. Look at everything that happened. Somebody's life was lost. A child's life was lost. He now even worsened the situation by marrying the woman. Obalashe. If you don't understand that one, Yoruba, I can't help you. Today we are not interpreting Yoruba. Just Google it. Obalashe, that means the king is the authority. Abi, the authority lies with the king. If you just look at you, Kenya, and say, your wife, once you leave this place, go and you will go and pack her load and move it to my house. And then you are trying to say, no. You just see boys, my boys, bouncers, they're just going to carry you. They will not see you again. That's what the guy did to his wife now. Gave the guy a drink. And before he killed him, you know, everything David did was deliberate. It was not like he was sleeping. David meant to kill that boy, that man. He meant to do it. Hey! Do you know that the person we are talking about, is it because if you don't, to see the weight of mercy, you must see the weight of the crime. Some of you don't even, you may not even need mercy till your life is over because you are born on the altar. Your mom was singing on the altar when she entered labor and they gave birth to you. Then even you are named on Sunday. The school you went to is the school that the church started. Nursery, primary, secondary, even university, you got scholarship. Everything is church. So you don't worry, you are in heaven already. Just give chance for those who are real criminals. If you don't see the weight of the crime, you will not be able to stand and say, I was the one that was shown mercy. David calculated every step, Kenny. And he was following it secretly. Nobody knew what David was doing until they sent him a personal letter and said, he's dead. Kill the boy. Tell the woman, young woman, move to my house. I hope you know the man that David killed. He was not just anybody. He was one of the mighty men of David. He was one of those people that at one time in the life of David, when David was in the wilderness, they came together disgruntled. They came with problems. Do you know that kind of situation? Somebody came to you with problems and you killed him. These were the people that David trained, and he made them mighty men. And then when David became king, they all built their houses around his palace. That was how David was able to see the one that was having a bath. Because they are saying if anybody wants to attack the king, the person must pass through us first. So that guy died trying to defend David. But the arrow that took him out didn't come from outside. It came from the king. Did Saul commit as much sin? Apart from when he started having temporal madness and was practicing target. You know, there's one thing we used to, this game, that, just... So he was using a real human being to learn. We'll miss. Ola, try again. But Saul didn't take anybody's wife. You see this mercy factor? When God just looks at you and says, I like you. That is the prerogative as a child of God that you have. It makes him unique. There was nothing that Saul did that David did not do twice. David, the only good thing about David is that he can sing. Dance like a winner, man. No. You see, you can't beat him in that aspect. Then he's a fine boy. He goes about with comb and mirror. My mom takes me to the saloon. They fry my hair as they are doing in those days of Jerry Coyle. And some of you don't know Jerry Coyle, don't worry. But in the days of Jerry Coyle and Pemin, right now, I don't think nobody's talking about that, but Jericho, you know that thing, as if it's dripping oil. It's coil. So I have a mirror in my bag. Sometimes I forget my book at home, but my mirror and my comb must be in my bag. I'm not joking. The person talking to you is the culprit. It's what I did. You know what you did, you can't forget, even if it's 30 years. The way some of you have mirrors now, you forget your bag, you go back home, tell the Uber to turn. It's the way I used to turn. My hair started, you know the way people say your hair is, they chop, they enter. I fried my head till he started chopping. It's a serious matter. So when you see this winner man brother, and he comes to church, he has the best dance. Dance like a winner man, dance like a winner. They say, we just love this brother. Now lie, yo. Now Percy wife, they look. Dance like a winner man, like. And in our church, we are free, we dance. We just dance and dance to our side. See, Safa, and I was trying to chat with you. Okay, I miss your chat. I will check. I'll get back to you. Meanwhile, the brother is in the prayer department. They are praying. God, today, let your power, let your glory. They are already chatting WhatsApp and Signal with your wife. It's just amazing. If I was God, I would not ask David any question. I would just hold him by that Jericho and carry him up. Then hang him on the cross and then kill him there. Wicked guy. David forgot. David forgot that there was something he was doing before God found him. That even his own family never saw him qualified for anything except to be a shepherd at the backside. And then God looked at you and said, I want that one. And God brought you from nothing else, brought you to a better place. And then you used the same dagger that God put in your hands for your end, and you started killing your brothers. The ones that swore to lay their lives down. You see, there was no case in court. Oga, we go kill you. There's no case. And then Nathan came and began to explain some things to him. And even David was still answering, yeah, you know, like that story now. That story. If you look at that story, that one that took the ram. They are looking at you where they are going to flock. This is a king. The only person that could have challenged him was a genuine prophet. Because the other soldiers are meant to just take orders. But you look at that. Why did God reject Saul? Why did he have mercy on David? Later in the book of Psalm, I think chapter 51 or so, he will say, God, he said, in sin was I shaping. Huh? He said, even when I was in my mother's womb, I was in sin. He said, take not your Holy Spirit from me. He began to pray certain prayers of repentance. The difference between a Saul and a David is that David had a relationship with God. Saul was just a circumstantial civil servant. He was looking for his business. He wanted to start a business in Lagos. He became governor. He came to Lagos to start business. He ended up, he saw one man, the man liked him. Gave him political position. He became governor. Yes, I know in Lagos, we are peak. That's what happened to him. But he had no relationship with God. So this matter of mercy, because today we are going to reverse some things. We are going to what? We are going to reverse some things. All those roadblocks that they say because of your age, because of, we are going to reverse it. We are going to remove it. Number three, on the matter of mercy, why God retains absolute power, yet is not brutal in the use of that power, neither is he reckless in the dispensing of that power. That means that God's major strength is not power, it's mercy. When you look at the Ark of the Covenant, the innermost court, the place where every transaction takes place, is called what? The mercy seat. Not power seat. Mercy seat. The seat of mercy. What do they call mercy in Igbo language? Some of you don't even understand your language anymore. Ebere, nice name. Stop naming your children Cassandra, Linda. Yeah, give them Ebere. Mercy. Anu in Yoruba. What is it in Hausa? What is it in Hausa? I don't understand that one. But she said it in tongues. But God looked at David. You see, David was smart. A situation later happened in the life of David. David wanted to count the people. Are you with me? He wanted to know how many people were in his nation. So the Bible said Satan moved him to count the people. And he counted the people and God was angry. Okay, if you know the people in this, what are you going to do with it? You want to say you are a great king. You that you are playing guitar and record, you have no leadership skill. You didn't go to Harvard Business School. Even up till now, you still didn't manage to go to any school. All this noise you are making is because of my mercy on you. And now I say, let's know how many people from Maryland. We have about 7 million people who are loyal to us. On the whole, as a country, we have 300 million people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So you are addressing people in a business meeting. We are 300 million. Hallelujah. Then you put beside your name, the great King David. Great. You know, add great. His holiness. His eminence. Oh, glory. His prince. His majesty. His royal majesty. Meanwhile, you have high blood pressure. The guy is still going to doctor. But his royal majesty. You're a dead man. Oh, royal majesty. There's one song like that I heard on one Instagram. Your royal majesty, something. I don't know who sang the thing, but I heard it. So people are greeting themselves now. Royal majesty. You see, I don't know, maybe these people are targeting me, all these Facebook, Instagram people. But I don't know why they don't give me the muen and all. They just push all these satanic people to me, calling themselves royal majesty. Listen to me. There is a pattern of life. There is a state of heart. God, for God to show you mercy, you may not be perfect, but God must find an ingredient in your heart. That ingredient must also be the capacity to be merciful. That if we help this one, in the future, she will have the capacity to also be what? Merciful. When the devil tried to push Satan to count the people, and God was angry, and they rebuked him, God now gave him some options. Abi, God gave him options. He said, should I release plague or sickness? Should I kill? God gave him terrible options, all of them. What did David say? This time he was wise. He said, let me fall into the hands of the Lord. Don't let me choose any option, please. The last time, I know how you helped me. So if you read that scripture, you think he was gisting. He was lying prostrate. Let me fall into the hands of the Lord. Leave the people. Take me. And God preserved him. People who receive mercy are people that learn from the past. Not people who speak grammar. That your grammar is only you. God doesn't, you know, all this grammar is, God is learning it from you. God doesn't speak English. Now, I want you to write this down. Mercy is God's answer to your weakness and personal failure. Mercy is what? God's answer to your weakness and what? Personal failures. Like Peter. Scripture says, after Peter denied him and the cock crew three times. I don't know who I'm talking to, because sometimes, oh God, sometimes it can really be challenging. Are you with me? It can really be challenging that you have a particular secret. There's something in your heart that you know that is between you and God and another third party, maybe one sugar bubble somewhere. And you cannot even tell the person in your room. And that thing is eating you up. Maybe you gave a bribe somewhere. Or maybe somebody made you do something in the office that you knew in your heart you were not supposed to do. And you could not tell anybody. See, let me tell you something. One of the strengths of a local assembly is where somebody amongst us has made a mistake. And the person can walk up to just anybody and say, pray for me. I did something wrong. And that matter will not go beyond that place. I'm saying that even the pastor may not hear after that day. Come on, are you still here? I say one of the strengths of a local church is when somebody is dying and the person is like, help me, see what I did. And then you humble yourself. The scripture said, how did James put it? He said, confess your fault one to another, that you may be healed. That means there are certain healings and deliverance that never happen until the issue of sin is dealt with. And it's not just sin. God, you will talk to somebody, the person will join faith with you and pray for you, and the matter will not go beyond that place. The problem is that by nature, because Africans, we are not busy people, so we always want to tell somebody's story. I was sharing with the prayer team this morning. One of my dear brothers, who I met in a meeting 1.5 years ago, and he had a problem in his office where he was made to face that my friend that came yesterday. You know, he faced the DC, and we're talking about a transaction of about 15 million, and they asked him to pay the customer back. His own salary is not up to 15 million per annum. But they asked him to pay. Meanwhile, his wife had resigned a month before. So it's like no job again. We are just working to pay back debt. So I saw him in a meeting somewhere in Ogba. And then I just said, brother, how are you? I said, I see the Lord giving you debt recovery. Ah. He said, amen. No, this is a good prayer. You understand? God, we are actually owing money within steel. 15 million. My brother, you know the way, even it sounds like small money, but if there's 15 million, some of you saw my video on WhatsApp about that guy that they sent 20,000. And now his praise worship started praising God. Well, don't worry, I'll put it again for you so you can. God, I like the video. I watch it. It made a lot of sense. But if somebody give you 20,000 in this economy, he likes you. Not to now talk of 15 million. Say you are owing 15 million. Say me. I'm owing. How much is my salary? 15 million. And then you meet a prophet and a person says, God says he's going to recover your debt. Eh? That's a powerful word. And he started saying, God, your servant has spoken. Your servant has spoken. I want to show you where mercy comes in. Because what does that brother say? Do you know how much we are talking about? Even if he had told me and he said, hey, I'll see 15 million. Hey, sorry. What happened? You know, I will start feeling for him. God doesn't need your story. It's his proclamation that you should be looking for. He said, I will recover your debt for you. And then the brother was paying. They kept removing the money from his account every month. I don't know why I'm prophesying. Maybe there's somebody that has debt that God wants to recover this money. Say amen, no? Because that's how we were saying it the other day. You know, Pastor Gwinga is very nice. He likes encouraging us. I'm not encouraging you. I'm prophesying to you. The last month of paying up that debt. Last month. The last month, they just called him from the office. Say, we've caught that customer. We've gotten the money back. Give us your account number. I want to return the money. You see, the money came back December 31 last year. He said, so when people are shouting Happy New Year, his own Happy New Year was very loud. Oh, God, there's something, it's called Kishi. Kishi, you know what they call Kishi? You may not know what that one is. Kishi, it's a slang for money. It's something, it's hot inside our account. And it's not 100,000, it's not 10,000, you know. So when I'm saying, that's why I was putting that video on my status. So you can look at your wife and like, praise God, Jesus is good. Yeah, he's good now. He's good. Mercy. You see, most of the times in the bank, especially if you work in the bank, if there's any issue and they want to lay off, people who have DC cases, disciplinary cases, will be the first to be sent away. God kept him in the bank, was saving the money for him. Or told the bank, be saving the money for him. He doesn't have savings. Be saving it for him. Strange mercy. Strange mercy. Can you imagine something you forgot about? They just called you. He was rejoicing that this is the final month for repayment. God was rejoicing because he's about to credit his account. Something is happening to your account, though. Something good is happening to your account. That your amen is weak. There was a man in scripture. His name was Bartimaeus. Now I want to round up here. But it was not so much about his name, but that they used the situation to always describe him. He was blind. He had no spiritual vision. He had no physical or literal vision. His situation was so critical. The best he could do was to beg for money. But he didn't even know those who were helping him. And then one day, Jesus was passing by. Jesus was passing by. Sometimes the key to your mercy is just one small information. He didn't know who Jesus was. He had never seen Jesus. But he heard that Jesus was passing by. Come on, say passing by. Jesus was not going to meet blind Bartimaeus. He was what? You see, don't get too familiar with the mystery of grace. Because some people are very used. They've been in church for so many years. They are used to seeing him passing by. That's the senior pastor, he's passing by. That's the prophet, he's passing by. Hey! God, open my eyes. Let me not become too familiar with you. That on the day of my mercy, do you know there were multitudes there? Do you know there were people like, oh, his bodyguard. Don't touch him. They will do it for you 4 years. Second time, 8 years. After that, you go back to your father's house. After that day, if you need bodyguard, go and rent. There were people, including the disciples. But there was no allocation of power. Because Jesus was looking for something. So he was passing by. He had multitudes. But there was a man like, this may be the only opportunity I have. And he screamed, Jesus, Son of David, the son of one that found mercy. Are you getting it now? Are you getting it now? He traced him back to his fathers. One of your fathers had a big problem. It was mercy he found. You are his son. And I know you can help me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. Have mercy. Bro, see, I normally explain to you, when we have important people like this, we don't like noise. You know, I've been allowing you to stay here for so long. Now you want to spoil my... See, all these people, you are pushing our customers. Jesus! It's not about the money. I need a turnaround in my destiny. It's not about how much I'm making in this business center. I need something that is more than gold. I need an encounter with the Lord. I want an encounter with mercy. I don't have the papers. I don't have the qualification. I don't have the certificate. I don't have the wife. I don't have the children. I have no name. I have no account. I have no identity. I have no NIN. I have nothing. Give me mercy. Give me mercy. Give me mercy. I don't know who I'm prophesying to. I don't have anything. We calculate the master, PhD. It's nothing. I came to Lagos all by myself. No father, no mother. But if you can give me your mercy, maybe something is going to happen to my life. This is a one-time, lifetime opportunity. Jesus! Son of David! Have mercy upon me. And Jesus stopped. Bring that man to me. You see, there's something about our Lord that I appreciate. It's the fact that there's no situation that shakes him. The moment he asks you to come, your solution has come. Oh my God. I said the moment he asks you to come, your solution has come. He saw a woman crying on the way to bury her only son. And he stopped the coffin and said to the woman, weep not. He had not done anything for that woman. But he stopped the coffin. Hey, I have something here. This dead situation, this dead marriage, this dead family, this dead finance, this situation of your health, this high blood pressure, this kidney failure, this situation in this coffin, stop! Stop! It is given unto a man to die once, and after then is what? His judgment. So that guy was already passed, but he said, I want to bring the mercy factor. Stop! The woman cried. She was looking for another fellow crier. But when Jesus got there, Say, stop. Young man, I say unto you, Jesus has the capacity to speak to your problems and they will hear. The doctor may tell you there's nothing here again. We'll just be writing rubbish. But when Jesus looks at your problem, they listen. When Jesus is in the storm with you, they listen. The storm will listen. Oh my God, they listen. He said, young man, come unto me. Come. You have been described by your problem. But today we want to provoke the God of mercy. We want to ginger the God of mercy. We want to push your case before the God of mercy. We want to push your case. We want to take your file from under where it was kept. And we want to bring it out and say, Baba, help us look at this one. The God of mercy. I don't know if blind Bartimaeus is here this morning, but today is your day. Say, come. Say, bring him. The same critics are the one who held his hands. The master, they say, weep not. He is calling for you. Weep not. He is calling for you. And they led him to where the master was. And I imagine if Jesus was speaking Yoruba, Alakunrin oro eti dayo. Jesus didn't even give the blindness the benefit of any form of respect. How long have you been here? What's your name? That man's life never described anymore by his problem. Today when we call him blind Bartimaeus, it was because he got a miracle. It was not because he died in that situation. How many people am I talking to this morning? Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Glory. He is the God of mercy. He is the God of mercy. I wish you just think about what I just said. He is the God of mercy. Among the gods, he's the only one that holds the wand of mercy. And if he stretches it in your direction. I went to the hospital to pray for a woman that was dying. And when I got there, I looked at the situation. The lights in the room were out. It was clear that the doctors, my mom said to me, the doctors are saying they can't find her vitals anymore. They can't fix her anymore. And then I walked into the room and I held her hand and I said, Mama, Jesus makes you whole. You will not die, but live. Then I left. Sometimes you think you want to pray one big, big prayer. Jesus is just waiting for you to get to the point. A week later, I called my mom. How's your friend? Say, wow. She's discharged. She recovered. The doctors couldn't explain it. Saved from the brink of death. Oh, the God of mercy. Listen to me, when you want to trigger mercy, it's not the time for you, and I need to round up, it's not the time for you to come and be speaking Queen's English. You must know how to trigger mercy. Come on now. And one of it is the way you present yourself. There was a man that was a sinner, the scripture called him a publican. And he was praying beside another very righteous man. And he was praying and said, God, I'm a sinner. I can't face you. You see, repentance is one of the keys to opening the door of mercy. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. It doesn't matter if you speak in tongues. It doesn't matter if you prophesy. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Time will not sort it out. Only the blood can cleanse it. Time will not sort it. Only the blood can cleanse it. Don't say, okay, I'll just leave it like that. After 2 weeks, me and God will be okay. The devil is a liar. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but he that confesses and forsakes them shall find what? Shall find what? Shall find what? Mercy. Shall find mercy. Shall find mercy. Repentance. One of the powerful keys to open the doors of mercy. Tonight, this morning, you are going to pray. And when you pray, you are going to invoke his name. God of mercy. God of mercy, you have some situations that defies scientific explanation. You have some situations that are unexplainable. But we are going to cry and we are going to invoke. Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. We are going to lift up your voice in 1 minute. You are going to pray with holy hunger. You are going to cry, God of mercy. Lift up your voice. Cry out, God of mercy. Cry out, God of mercy. God of mercy. Visit me today. Lift up your voice and begin to pray. Where certificates fail, mercy will build.